Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Another Monday, another Edwin rant. Hi, Edwin.
G'day, Martin. Let me ask you a question to kick off.
Okay.
Are you a tennis player?
I used to be years ago, but I tell you what, I'm not sure I want to pick up the record after what we've seen the last couple of weeks.
It's a dangerous sport, Martin. It's a very, very dangerous sport. I'd recommend, for the kids out in the big wide world of YouTube. It's one of those things. Make sure you get parental supervision if you want to play tennis. It's very dangerous.
Well, it's about following the instructions, but also understanding that there are shadow instructions that you didn't know about in the first place, which seem to be the ones that catch you out.
Yeah, look, I'm just sticking to I'll stick to boxing and in watching other bullfighting or anything like that. But tennis, I just I just can't watch it, man. It's too dangerous, too dangerous.
Yeah, well, I prefer ping pong myself, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, exactly. look, they tell me lawn bowls is where most people die. So, I reckon tennis comes in pretty high. But anyway, Martin, it's a dream for some. 2022 is becoming a dream for some, but not for many others. And so far, I think we're walking more and more into many nightmares as they evolve.
Well, it does seem to me that the wheels are falling off left, right, and centre, frankly. I was talking to somebody today who was up in Sydney today, and at Central Station, it was like, hello, is there anybody there at all? and the informal lockdowns are spreading like wildfire. And it's interesting that in my latest business surveys, I've got now a lot of businesses saying their cash flow is just gone to nothing. So, it's not months now, it's weeks before some of them just shut up shop completely for all time. I think this is a much more serious situation, economically speaking, than anybody's giving it credit for at the moment.
Oh, look, definitely. I'll send you later on the a video also of one of our followers, devout followers, that they have a market stall in Newcastle, and they're only getting one third of the people through. Considering what's happening out there and the shortages that we're going to be experiencing, I honestly expected it to be pretty much packed. But he said no, it's the opposite. There are a lot of people suffering. There are a lot of people that aren't making ends meet, and things unfortunately are going to get worse. I mean, all around, it's, as I said, Martin, it's a dream for the big banks, the big corporates, the big guns, but unfortunately, it's turning out to be a nightmare for the little people. But thank God that we've had this voice out for a number of years. You've been putting out for a lot longer. We've been sharing for the last couple of years as we've been going through this roller coaster ride of the pandemic and the ins and outs and what's happening with property, as tonight's rant is all about property, but how it affects other parts of the economy, or how the economy is going to have a major impact on property, which is what we're going to be unpacking as well later on today. Also, our WeChat chatterers have got something very, very interesting to share with us today, and I've been sharing it on Twitter. But it's definitely a dream for the big corporations, and a nightmare for the little people. But Dusty and Evan, they're still dreaming about that sardine pond, Martin. But I think it's going to be a nightmare when I let them know that it's not sardines; it's actually going to be koi.
Well, yeah, don't be coy about coming forward with that piece of news, Edwin. You're going to shatter some dreams there.
Oh, poor little bastards. They're going to be shattered. They've been looking forward, but they're working me to the bone, Martin. Rain, hail or shine, they want me out there. They want me to finish it. It's been slow in getting there. The weekend made some time to, the little bit of sun that we got. over the weekend, and hopefully we'll be able to see the we'll be able to share what Dusty's and Evan's fish pond in there in the koi that they're going to be growing there. Look, there's also the shattered dreams of the of the businesses, as you said earlier on. We're getting chatter from all over the place, from WeChat, from other friends, from other other business holders. They are definitely struggling. It's the we're going to see a lot more strip shops just disappearing. Who knows? Maybe High Rise Harry is going to be buying a lot of strip shops and putting high-rise apartments there, because that's the only thing that seems to be making money, or the governments that seem to be investing in, is these high-rise developments.
Well, it does make you wonder. And by the way, talking about people under pressure, it amazes me how many of those people who went through the home builder program to get those home and land packages, it's all coming home to roost, because they've now discovered all the clauses in their contracts which basically say, well, if prices of materials go up, or if the contract extends longer, we're going to charge you more. So unfortunately, the people thought they had fixed contracts when in fact they are very variable contracts.
Oh, look, and no builder in the right mind was ever going to give them a fixed price contract anyway. I mean, you really have to stand your ground in order to get a fixed price contract, and it's been like that for a decade or so anyway. So it was always going to be very it was going to be very interesting to see moving forward without the pandemic and the lockdowns and everything else that went along with it, but let alone with this now in the shortages and the greater shortages that we're about to be hit with. It's only a matter of a wait and see as to how much carnage that's going to evolve. The question there, Martin, is who's going to have first dibs at the resales? That's the first thing. Is the banks, are they the first? Are they going to be first in, or is it going to be the government? Because don't forget, the government are in there with a lot of these deals at 15%. They've got 15% in the deal, so it's not a laughing matter. It's not a small small fries. They're in for with a lot of money. So it's just it's going to be a wait and see. But look, I don't know how that's just going to drag out. All it means is that people that bought into that, they're not going to have a home for the next year or two, but potentially even three. It's going to be that's a nightmare in itself. And as I say, that's another spaghetti bowl, another mess that they have to unravel along with everything else. Right now, I'm looking and paying very close attention to the small business operators, the strip shop owners, the shops, coffee shops, the restaurants, the small catering businesses, really catering. I mean, that with no tourism, no local business, the fear of the Krong, the psychological lockdown that we're moving into, it is really carnage out there, and it seems the only ones that are going to be walking out of this holding bags of money are the big players, the ones that can afford to. We were talking to some local restaurants, and they can't afford to. They're hardly making any money with the produce, with the takeouts, takeaways, and yet they've got to pay Uber Eats and all these other delivery companies 25-27%. I thought it was ludicrous. I thought it was amazing, and quite frankly, it's, as you say, it's only a matter of weeks, perhaps 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, well, you did put out a warning about if you want Mongolian lamb, hurry up, right? There won't be much left soon.
Hey, look, if you want fried rice, if you want fried rice, if you want Mongolian lamb and dim sims and all those honey chicken and all those goodies, you better start learning how to make it, because a lot of our WeChat chatterers are telling us, the local WeChat chatterers, is that they can't survive. For them, it's really a matter of 2 to 3 months. That's as long as they see themselves surviving. Let's not forget that these are people, business people, that have invested also not only heavily into their businesses, and these are traditionally business people that invested in businesses, in these small businesses, which are now getting absolutely hammered. But these are also people that for a large portion of them, they also invested very heavily into property, and a lot of it has been apartments. So that's something that we're going to talk about later on as well, the effects of that. And we already shared last week as to what the WeChat chatterers in mainland China were telling us as to what the trends there are, and the economists there are already seeing the trends in the local mainland Chinese based investors that are selling their apartments, Canada, in Canada, New Zealand, and no doubt Australia. So it's really a wait and see. And the numbers of apartments coming up, creeping on very quickly, is perhaps the beginning of that evidence that we're going to be seeing, because it's last year the apartment numbers weren't creeping up as quickly as this year. So that's just going to be a wait and see as well. But definitely the local WeChat chatterers, they're certainly having a huge issues with the finance. They're hooked up to commercial leases. They've got bad apartment investments. They've also got low patronage going through their businesses. And then on top of that, these are people that also invest heavily into the education of their children. So we are talking about private schools, private tuition, after school tuition, and so forth. And all this is putting huge economic stress on them. So it's just a wait and see as to it's not a wait and see, because I can already start to see the trend and the chatter around the. The carnage around the apartment, people holding investments in that area of apartments and high-rise developments.
Well, I'm definitely seeing in my surveys more property investors in the high-rise sector definitely wanting to get out, definitely wanting to try and shift property. And so whilst some house vendors may decide to wait and see what happens, I think it's probably too late in the day for many property investors. They've already been crunched, and the prospect of slightly enhanced rents in some areas of Sydney, which has been spooked in the media today quite strongly, is not going to be enough to save them. You know, they're just economically in a really deep trap. Still seeing capital values in some of those high-rise areas continuing to fall, and you've got to basically make a decision: do you cut your losses and get out while you can, or do you sit on it and watch the capital value continue to fall and struggle with rental repayments as interest rates rise? Not a situation that people really want to cope with. That's why they're looking to get out.
Look, definitely. And the other issue that we've got on hand is that apartments or high-rise developments, these new developments, demand a lot of tradespeople to do a lot of work. Maintenance is not an easy thing. Now, try and find tradespeople at a reasonable rate these days. It's the outlay, the ongoing and continual outlay of money for the people holding these apartment, these investments is just getting bigger and bigger, and it's affecting their bottom line. It's putting a massive hole in their pockets and in their wallets. That's one of the things. Strata levies are going up. They're not coming down. Maintenance. There's a lot of maintenance issues. You've got I'm trying to get the report, but I mean, this is just chatter and this is just third party, so it's, you could just treat it as hearsay. But there are some buildings now that you can't even use the lifts because they're unsafe. They're not maintained, so the people are using the emergency stairwells to go up and down. I mean, go figure. But we were always going to get there, Martin, and things are only going to get worse. And with supply chain issues, a lot of these lifts that are in the majority of these apartments, they're Chinese made. The components are Chinese made, and the suppliers are from China. From China. We don't manufacture. We don't. Um, make. We don't have the special the specialty tooling systems that we once had in order to maintain these lifts. A lot of these the parts and the components are bought in from China. You've got in mainland China, Xi'an is in a stronger lockdown than what Wuhan was at the beginning of the pandemic. And this is the Corona is spreading very, very rapidly across China, and it's affecting the cities that are producing goods, the cities that are the commercial or industrial cities, because you've got populations in these cities, or you've got the working population in these cities. They live in very tight communities, they live in very confined spaces because they don't necessarily, they're not residents of that city. They've traveled, they don't go back home for almost a year to see their family, pretty much at the during the Chinese New Year or the which we're approaching. So, and that's the only time that they go back home. So they've got all these issues there. So the supply chain issues are only going to get worse for us. The components and parts for these lifts and any other mechanical gizmo that's used in the building in the construction industry is only going to get harder. Xi'an, as we shared before, produce or supply upwards of just a bit over 15% of the microchips globally. So it's going to be a huge ramifications moving forward. But we always said, Martin, 2022 was really going to be when we're going to feel the pain. Forget the vaccine mandates. I mean, I'm not saying forget the vaccine mandates, but that's just going to be second fiddle compared to the issues with food shortages, which we warned our people, which we warned our followers, and most of them have been following our advice in getting prepared. So this is where things are really going to be playing out, and this is influencing people's choices as to what type of property they buy and what they're offloading locally. And that's going to play out with regards to, as you said, said earlier on, with regards to the freestanding homes not coming on market as readily, and apartments. Perhaps we're going to get a flood of apartments, and that's going to be the cheaper option for the locals to get in. But if that is going to be the case, I'd say with a make sure you do your due diligence. Make sure you you don't jump in too quickly into apartments that are just cankerous or full of issues. That make sure you read the full strata report in its totality, not just the last year or two or financials. You got to read the whole report. Don't rely on your conveyancer or your solicitor to read the whole report. They will not read the whole report. They will only read the financials for the last couple of years just to tell you, everything's sticking along okay. It's going to require you to reach out to experts in that field that will read the full report in its totality.
Absolutely. And of course, the question is, will that report necessarily represent everything that's there? You have to really do your own due diligence. And, I was talking to someone the other day who was actually looking at a relatively newly constructed apartment in one of the high-rise buildings close into the centre of Sydney. And they were telling us that they were walking around and suddenly heard this sort of thumpy noise. I wasn't quite sure what it was, right? And then about 4 or 5 minutes later, heard it again, right? And then they realised that what it was somebody flushing the loo on one of the other floors, and the water was sort of thumping down the pipes. So they went to the bathroom of this particular apartment and flushed the toilet, and exactly the same banging noise afterwards. So the plumbing was not as should have been.
Well, and it's all stacked. If you look at the plans, they're all on the stacks are in line, and you're going to get all those. You fart in your bathroom, and the people across the hall from on the other side hear it. I mean, this is the nature of it. The walls are getting thinner. The materials are getting less. How can I put it? They have less. properties or qualities than what they had in the past in order to compensate for a lot of these, living in these confined spaces. It's just not what it was and not what it is. You've got, as I say, one of the things, one of the many, many ways that you can find out is, spend that time there and also talk to the people that are actually living there. If you stand in the common area long enough, you are at the bottom of the main entrance, you will get to talk to people that are either tenant or owner occupiers. Have a friendly chat. That chat is worth a fortune. Because you get to find out exactly more in detail as to what's going on, other than what the agent tells you and what's in the strata report, as you say, what's not in the strata report. But that is why people, you only need, as you say, it's not just about reading the strata report. It's also about knowing who the developer is, are they still standing? Are they one offs? Are they the ones that have come and gone and they've just set up Phoenix companies? I mean, we've been hearing that in the mainstream media last year as to how many second tier companies, well known second tier companies that one would have thought that were very solid, but you see here, and we've been listening to and hearing and reading all the shenanigans that they're being up to and all the issues that a lot of buyers have come into. But look, again, on that note, do the due diligence and use the people that can provide that. Again, I go back to the report that you provide, Mark. It's an invaluable report that many of our followers should be getting before they move forward to look at to take away a lot of the complexities and allow individual buyers, if they don't want to use people like us, buyers agents like us, they can use, have those reports on hand, which is stuff that we reach out to as well, to put together our advice to our clients. So it's not like we don't do a lot of that stuff. It's just that you've provided it in a package in a way that people can see pinpointed strategy as to the values and the price and the trends in a particular area in the street that becomes invaluable for the individual that's looking at buying in the future.
Well, thanks for the advert, Edwin. And yeah, absolutely. I would obviously endorse what you're saying in terms of you have to go granularly, you need to get all the information together. And look, it takes me, between half a day and a day to put all of that material together into and to report on those one-on-one conversations. And in an hour, people can actually learn a hell of a lot about a particular suburb, what's going on, what price values are doing, what the planning is like, what the flooding is like, even things like what the crime is like. All of those things really help to influence, a better understanding. And it's interesting, your point about asking the existing occupants of the building, going back to that conversation I had with the plumbing problem, while they were waiting on the ground floor to go up to this apartment, they noticed that one of the lifts wasn't working. And they actually asked one of the other tenants in the building, how long has the lift been out of action? 5 weeks. The reason? No components.
That's right. Then this is the thing. These, and then you've got the, for me, the scarier than apartments. I mean, look, let's face it, we all need a bit of exercise. So going up and down the five flights of stairs is can be good for many people. If you're not getting much exercise anyway. But the scarier part, Martin, is the electronics that handle the smoke alarms, the water systems with regards to the sprinkler systems. What about when they fail? What about when those components go? What then? You really can't live in those apartments. You've got to evacuate. You've got to evacuate the whole. It's a ticking time bomb. You might as well sleep on pull the pin and put the grenade under your mattress and you wish and hope and pray that it doesn't go off. because that's more or less what you're doing. I know that imagery can be very out there, but it's a ticking time bomb, and particularly with all the issues that we've been hearing that go on in apartments. There are a lot of fires that aren't unreported by the mainstream media in a lot of even small complexes. As I drive around, as my team drives around, we get to see the remnants of the fires. And there's more issues happening now because why, Martin? Because more people are staying at home.
Yep.
And so there's more pressure on the lifts. There's more pressure on the maintenance of these developments. There's and there's more pressure on the sewer system. Remember a few years back when that when High Rise Harry's development over in Parramatta, when they had an issue in I think it was the fourth level or thereabouts, and everyone. Further down from that, or it was on the eighth level, I can't remember, and the shit was everywhere in the terrace apartment. I actually got some footage of that somewhere in my files, where it's effective. Why? Because again, they're not using the old PVC, which was they're complying with the regulations, they're complying with the building code, but we've gone from a 100 millimeter diameter PVC to 90 millimeter, and that to save costs, but lessening the throat of that sewer by 10 millimeters makes a huge difference. And there's a lot of pressure on these apartments when people spend more time in them.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, it's a question of what their design criteria were in terms of assumptions with regard to occupancy rates and all of those sorts of things and people coming and going. And as you say, the lifestyles change because of the local lockdowns and because people are having to work from home. So it really does put a very different story on it. And incidentally, one of the other observations I've had a couple of people talk to me about the strata managers' reports, and I've got them to ask specifically, how often do they test the fire alarms? How often do they test the sprinkler systems? Get some very interesting answers when you ask that question.
You would get some very, very interesting answers with all that. They should be also be asking, how often does the strata manager actually go and visit these complexes to look at the common areas? You've got Buckley's of getting them to even look at it on the annual general meeting, because they usually hold the annual general meeting in their offices, then they don't even go there. So all these things, it's just piling on with the high rise development. I mean, an image just came to mind, Martin, as we were chatting and all the pressures and everything else. So to me, the issue with Opal Tower just came to mind. So there's a lot more people residing in Opal Tower, so there's a lot more weight. So I'm still, I'm still calling it. Opal Tower is still sinking.
We'll certainly see. And going back to those numbers, just to re-emphasize, right? So there has been a bit of a spike in apartment listings. It's probably a bit too soon to really call that in terms of what's happening, but certainly my surveys are suggesting it. But also the old auctions are very slow again. And that's probably cron related more than anything else. But the momentum in the property market does seem to be evaporating. And I think we know the reason why.
Look, definitely. And this is, although it's the beginning, typically by the third, fourth week of January, we start sort of getting a fair idea as to the trend. But the trend in comparison to last year, where I was really gobsmacked last year when the apartment listings weren't going up as quickly, and I was considering the fact that I know how many marketing companies, the spruiking companies have got on the books that they didn't come on till not till late on in the year. So it was pretty much a drip feed of apartment listings. But this time around, they're starting to really pick up speed. Home listings, on the other hand, a lot of agents that we've been speaking to, are basically, some are saying, look, the owners don't want to come on market on the weekend. you know, out of the five inspections, three were cancelled for me. That was, and the three that were cancelled were homes. One was an owner-occupier. They don't want to go on market. They're too fearful of going on market because it's an owner-occupier. They have got a young, you know, they've got a, you know, it's a young family. They've got kids and, you know, each to their own. So they don't want to go on market. And these were off-market properties that I was trying to get in, and see. The other two properties are tenanted. And basically the tenants just said, bottom line, nope, you can't come. And that's going to be an issue, another issue moving forward, Martin, with open home inspections is really the guidelines that the government have put out is if you have symptoms, if you have some sort of symptoms, not necessarily, you know, if you have it or you know you have it because you can't even get, you can't even test whether you have it or not because the RATS tests aren't available. And if they are, they're about $40 in some places or $45 now to get one. Who can afford one or two or three of those a week, if you're going to keep on testing. So if, basically, if you got the sniffles, if you're sneezing regularly, you got the sniffles or a bit of temperature, well, guess what? You're just going to make the assumption that you've got the cron and you're going to start isolating and hopefully that you don't get worse. So tenants are within the rights to basically cancel open house inspections. And that's what we got for two appointments that were made in two homes. The tenant said, no, sorry, you can't come. Whether it be true or not, that you can't question that. You just got to take it at face value. The two that we were able to attend, guess what, man? They were apartments. So they bent over backwards. Why? Because the agents can see that there's a lot coming on market. Yeah. So that's what's happening in terms of homes, apartments, and sale by auctions. Again, it's a slow start. A very slow start in comparison to last year, because I would have expected a lot more given the fact that we broke records towards the last two, three weeks of last year before the Christmas break. We were sale by underquoting was breaking records and to only have 121 going to auction just tells me that. People are still very are treading very, very carefully, and I would say they would have pulled their pin on that. Just a wait and see. But it's affecting homes a lot more than apartments. Apartments, I think, are going potentially break the 10,000 on market listing barrier, and I'd say they'd do it very quickly.
Absolutely. Well, we'll keep an eye on it and we'll keep chatting about the numbers. Of course, the article flow is somewhat slow at the moment, but there was this amazing article in The Conversation based on Singapore and superannuation and housing. What can we learn from that, Edwin?
Look, first of all, you've got to understand that Singapore and Australia is just up to, totally different markets. I spent a bit of time in Singapore. I used to travel to Singapore. I love traveling to Singapore, and I've got a lot of friends in Singapore. And I'm trying to understand the market. I actually over a decade and a half ago, I think it was 18 years ago, I did a bit of work with Cold War Bankers there in Singapore, which is a real estate office there based in Singapore. And I got to learn a fair bit about that market. Look, the author makes some very interesting points. But again, we've got two different mindsets. We've got two different types of governments and ideas as to one is truly helping the local community because they know that the government know that the locals will never be able to afford what the expats or people from overseas that are buying there and the high net worth individuals in Singapore are paying for some of these apartments are absolutely horrendous prices. I mean, the cost of living in Singapore is huge. To own a car in Singapore is huge. They've got number plates for weekends, so where you can take your car, you can only take your car out on the weekend. They've got number plates for where you can take your car out during the week, certain hours. I mean, this is because it's obviously the limit. They've got limit of space. They're limited with space, they're limited with land, they're limited with all this. So you've got all this limitation, whereas Australia is a very vast, a very big country. It's a very big island that we can certainly learn a lot, definitely from Singapore and what the author says in this article. On the one hand, so it's a dream, but unfortunately, I'm going to call it a pipe dream, and I call it a pipe dream not because of the author and what he points out, but I'm calling it a pipe dream because I don't believe that the governments, local governments, when I say the two-party government, will allow any of these to move forward, or the similar idea that the governments have adopted over there in Singapore to help the local Singaporeans, because as the author points out, the value of the lot per lot would have to come down to $50,000 in order to make it work and to make it affordable for first time buyers, between the ages of 25 and 30 to come into the market with certain restrictions. And I can tell you now, no developer, no builder is gonna allow any one of the two parties to drop the value of land near their developments, near their developments that they're holding, developments that they've built, that they've sold, because there's still a lot of them keep a stake in those developments. And just to bring it to a better understanding, so the author of this article says the lot price would have to come down to $50,000. On average, the lot price across Sydney for apartments on high rise, the individual lot price is about $200,000, Martin. And I'm talking about from west to east, north and south, right? So the average is $200,000. Obviously, there's the lot price in some of the affluent areas. Yeah, you could be paying upwards of $350,000, $400,000 per lot, before you start talking about resale values and so forth and construction costs. So that's a lot price. So that's going to be very difficult. And the lot price for a block of land is on average, I would say anywhere between about $500,000 lot price per land. So he's talking about compulsory acquisition. He's talking about the government's buying land. He's talking about turning over the existing properties that the state governments hold and make it and then discount it and resell to the first time buyers wanting to come in. I don't think it's going to fly. I think it's a bit of a pipe dream for those reasons. No local that's just bought a house for $1 million in a subdivision out in the west, house and land package out west, is going to let it fly when the next person is basically going to be able to come in at 550. I'm talking about 400 for construction, 100 for profit and other costs, and then where you're telling me that they're going to be buying it for 550 because the land's going to be costing the lot price is going to be costing them 50,000. It's not going to fly. It's going to be it's a pipe dream, and unfortunately it's becoming more and more of a nightmare for our local first-time buyers if they're looking at buying into homes because of the correlation of the low numbers on market.
Yeah, and the point you're making, everyone, and just to reemphasize, is whilst you could use superannuation as a mechanism to try and actually help people buy, the quantum of most people's superannuation, particularly if you're in the first-time buyer bracket, is so small that it's really... It's not going to touch the size. It's not going to make a huge difference at all, right? You'd have to change the economics completely. The problem is that we've got to the point now where the housing economics is so distorted because of many years of bad policy and many years of overlending, all those things, that it's impossible to find a solution that actually doesn't involve rapidly taking prices significantly down, because otherwise you're just perpetuating a continued process of effectively less letting more and more people out of the market and unable to get in the market because they don't have the resources to do it. And just offering a few more first home buyer grants or a little bit of access to superannuation is not going to be enough to make any difference at all.
No, it's not. And the other side of that coin with regards to what the author brings out in this article, Martin, is the fact that what you're saying is that that let's say the value of the homes or the value of the property isn't going to drop. What he's saying is that the government should take a hit. So they should be paying current lot value and then reducing the cost to the person coming in. So what effectively what he's saying is that the government should be granting anything from 150,000 to 450,000 if somebody wants to live in a house further out west. That's what he's actually actually saying. If it's not going to interrupt, if it's not going to if so-called not going to influence the value of the current value of property, and it's just not going to happen. It doesn't work. I tell you what I've been saying for almost two decades, Martin, is that the governments, the local from the local council to the state and federal, they should reduce their fees post the developers and builders purchase of land, and then we can start talking, and that's how you can make property more affordable, more sustainable for the local Aussie battler that wants to come in and wants to own own a piece of the Aussie dream. Because I did an analysis years ago, and I put it out on one of the magazines I was there at Easter Airport many years ago, and I worked out that 43 to 47% of the cost post the purchase of land went to all sorts of government fees and duties and taxes. It's insane.
Absolutely. Well, I've seen similar evidence, and it's definitely a significant factor when it's put all together. You know, when I think about how you calculate the price of a property, not from sort of the market driven down, but from building it up, you know, so the cost of the land, the cost of the build, and the cost of the other bits and pieces, those government and other fees relating to the development is a huge slug. And of course, many local authorities and states are completely dependent upon those income flows to support their coffers.
Hence the reason why they opened the gates and they changed the policies in 2013-14 for the foreign, under the Foreign Investment Review Board. They changed the policy where they could, overseas investors could literally buy an entire block of units that were developed. And that's another reason why we went into this stupidly construction of high-rise development above 5-6 levels. In areas that should never have gone any higher than four levels, because of the geographic issues and the geotechnical issues with the land. But that went gung ho because of that greed. So, but how do you stop a government that is so fixated on this? It's like trying to stop an addict, a drug addict, putting them in an environment where surrounded by heroin, cocaine, meth, juju beans, whatever, and anything else under the sun, and trying to bring them under therapy. That's what how the government is. They just got so punch drunk on these fees that they actually reduced they diluted those policies. Because when I started in selling real estate, almost 25 years ago, Martin, when I started in the space of selling as well as doing other things, we could only sell at that time up to 2013, 2014, we could only sell no more than, I think it was 22% of dwellings in the strata complex to foreign investors. And that was it. And the banks wouldn't fund the developers anymore if they showed up to the bank with with the pre-sales. If if that percentage was higher than what the Foreign Investment Review Board said that they could sell to. So it was very difficult for them to get funding. And then all of a sudden, you know, come 2014, 2015, you know, the shit hit the fan, and all of a sudden you got the evolution of marketing companies, Spruikers and everybody, and you know, just about every real estate agent from mainland China came over and parked and set up offices here, and offices from here went over to mainland China to set up, you know, reciprocal offices over there. And all of a sudden, you know, entire blocks of units of 100 to 150 to 160 were being sold to foreign investors. And this is where we are now. And everything went downhill from then.
Absolutely. And as we said earlier on, many of them are now looking to get out because the whole economic conundrum has shifted dramatically, and they can't necessarily let them. The values may not be there and all those things. So, yeah, we don't learn, do we, Edwin? Well, talking of learning, another tip from the master here, right?
look, it's just a tip again from it's just recapping what we started sharing in our rant from early 2021. To where we are now, and that was to prepare. So again, my tip, as I see more and more, and as I get the information from our WeChat chatterers and what I see in the space of businesses, I do very little business brokering now, because you just can't make heads or tails of the value of a business at the moment. If anything, you know, the lawyers that come up to me and ask me if I could sell their client's business. I asked them how much is your client prepared to give to a potential client in order to take over the business, to get that that chain, that weight off their shoulders, because it's just not happening. So, with all that, Martin, the tip is, the continued tip is just continue to stock up, because we're going to walk into greater issues. Economic issues and supply chain issues. Stock up on your over the counter medicines, which we put out over a year ago, and look at what's happening now. And in line of what's happening in Xi'an, if you need to make those upgrades to your electronic gear, you better start doing it now. And by all means, don't go to that that Harvey place. Go elsewhere to find to find your deals. Because electronic goods are going to be in very, very short supply for those reasons of the chip components and those components that come in from Xi'an and issues that they're having. So just keep on preparing, because unfortunately and sadly, things are only going to be getting worse. And if you've already bought, and if you've already decided what you're going to do with regards to your renovations and your works, my advice there is to get your builder, get your tradespeople to buy the materials ASAP. And even if you have to pay a little bit to keep them in storage or keep them in hold, do it now, because I can only see that the price of materials is going to skyrocket again. Well, in some cases, I wouldn't doubt it if it went to double the price of what we're paying now.
No, I agree. It's certainly not looking good. And, I think people need to be prepared for not just a few days wobble, but, the supply chains are going to be disrupted for weeks and months. The supermarket shelves are going to be, gaping in some areas as well, with nothing much on some of the shelves. So I'm afraid, people need to adapt and be prepared for a bit of a rough time. And I just wanted to take you right back to the beginning of the show when you were talking about retail strips and strip shops, right? We should just explain that we're talking here about strips of retail shops, not strips of strip shops.
Oh, about Martin, but they're suffering as well. they're suffering as well. I mean, my contacts in that, the legals are telling me that those clients, they're those clients that they look after in that area, there in that space, they've been suffering for a while. They've been suffering since the beginning.
Well, there you go. Didn't know that, but I thought it was worth just clarifying from my perspective. Edwin, appreciate your chat once again today, and always good to get your perspective on where things are. I think we're going to certainly see things wobbling the next little while. We'll do some more next week, and I look forward to the next exciting instalment of Sardine Heaven.
Maybe one of the followers can reach out to me on Twitter, Martin. I'm thinking of trying to grow some yabbies in that pond. Okay, will it work, or will the koi don't tell Dusty and Evan? Yeah, it's koi. They're asleep, so just keep it low. If the koi will eat the yabbies, I thought I'd give it a go.
Okay. So the question for the audience is, do kois eat yabbies? I think the short answer is almost certainly yes.
More than likely. I'm hoping that there'll be a way, because I was thinking, I wouldn't mind growing. It's big enough. I reckon I could be throwing some yabbies in there and might get a tree, but who knows? Yeah, it's just one of those things.
Edwin, thanks very much once again. Good to talk to you, and we'll do all again next week, eh?
Cheers. All the best.
See ya. Bye-bye.